Hey everybody, this is Karen Allen from Trinity Health Hub. Eugenie has asked me to share one of our webinars for you to enjoy during this holiday season. Our hub specializes in continuing education and community connection all around the globe. If you'd like to find out more about what we do or the content that you can stream on demand, visit our website, trinityhealthhub.com. We look forward to seeing you online.
All right. So welcome, welcome. We are kicking off our series about body burden and body toxins. And this is part of our course program for climate change and environmental medicine. You know, we are dealing with extraordinary circumstances that homeopaths 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, certainly weren't dealing with. And so Lynn and I have kind of masterminded a whole curriculum around this that we're very excited about. And it's starting out with all of this information about toxic body burden. There are a lot of things going on in the world today that are contributing to toxicity. And so we're starting out with heavy metals, and Lynn is kicking off today. We'll be talking about the information about lead and lead poisoning, really serious stuff that we all ought to know. And she'll be talking about this in terms of, you know, peer level communication. How are you talking with your client about this? How are you talking with yourself? How are you assessing so that you're really familiar with it? And then we're also going to be doing a topic, what can homeopathy do about this? So that's our session for today. And I just want to welcome Lynn. I'm always glad to teach with her. And she's got some great information to share with us today.
Thanks. Thanks, Karen. Can everybody hear me good? All right. So we're going to start with heavy metals, and we're going to start with one of the heaviest metals out there. And I want you to know that as much as I wasn't thinking about this, I've had to come to think about it more and more as my patients are coming forward with either neurological problems or learning problems or anything that makes me wonder what might be in the way of them getting well. And the truth is, lead poisoning has been with humankind a very long time. And unfortunately, every day you and I are being exposed to lead and we don't even know it. You might be eating Ghirardelli chocolate. You might be eating Trader Joe's dark chocolate.
Yeah, that was just in the news yesterday.
Yeah, I know. The universe always sends me this. The direct link. So, you know, what we're going to talk about today is not irrelevant. It doesn't belong to a time in our past. Although the old homeopaths, all the ones teaching us, they knew much more about it than we do. So I'm going to be relying on them quite a bit. And hopefully we can all come to a place where we kind of now have our eyes more open to this problem. I mean, look at what happened in Flint, Michigan. This is 2014. You know, they made a council decision to change their water source from the treated water to a different source because of budget problems. And a million people were affected. 12,000 children were exposed to lead. There were some deaths. There were 12 fatalities out of this. So if you have clients and or you are the public and you come from that area, please say something about that or inquire about this. This is a habit I'm trying to get into because I've been surprised by people having grown up in super sites or a place where something happened, and it's worth inquiring about. So what are we going to do today in our 25 minutes here? We're going to find out what is lead poisoning. We're going to look at the symptoms so we know with our eyes open when to suspect lead poisoning. And we're going to look at what you can either do as a practitioner or you as a consumer, what you should expect from homeopathic care in terms of what we can help you with. And I have to tell you, after doing all this research, I feel homeopathy has so much to offer. And I'll get to that as we proceed. But really, I looked at it all and I went, wow, we have such a gentle, systematic science here. I think we outrank everything else. So Karen wants me to push the button that says share screen. Yes?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. And there I am. Is that what I do?
Yep.
Hit share. Okay.
There you go.
All right. So lead is an element on the periodic table. It's part of the whole earth ecology, but lead poisoning is what we're talking about today. By the way, it's known as plumbism. So if you see that word, don't be thrown off. That's just another way to talk about lead poisoning.
But what right, and that's from about, the Latin name, plumbum metallicum. So yep. Especially in old books, that's how yep. you're going to see it. Or Lynn, are we supposed to be looking at a picture of you in your office?
No, we're supposed to be looking at something else. So we're not looking at the right thing?
Yeah, go ahead and put stop share. And then you might have to choose the specific thing, or you can just share your desktop and then pull up that thing once it's...
I don't know how to do this. You'll have to walk me through it.
Okay, click on share.
Share screen.
Yeah. And now up come all those different things that might be open on your computer there right now.
There we go. Okay. Now we're going to be there.
Ta-da! There we go. Perfect. All
right. Perfect. So lead poisoning is, lead is what they call an accumulative poisoning. You can be exposed to a lot at once, but it's more probable that it's just going to accumulate, which is bad news because, the frog in the boiling water story, right? So the damaging effects can happen over long periods of time. And this is a naturally occurring substance. So it is around. It's not going to go away. You can't just, we're going to clean this up and it's going to be gone. No, sorry, folks. That's not how it works. We have to be diligent and careful and rely on, a lot of good thinking and good detection to find out if our patients or you, the public, are suffering from this kind of a problem.
And I think we tend to have a bias that says, that was in pipes a long time ago.
Right.
We've all
right.
heard the story about how it was in the glaze for the pitcher that they used for the orange juice a long time ago. It used to be in gasoline a long time ago. It used to be in paint on walls a long time ago. But a lot of those things are still around.
So there's three main ways that you're going to contact lead at any given time. You're going to either breathe it through contaminated air, particulate matter, microparticles. You can drink it or eat it. And this is what happened, unfortunately, to the Flint, Michigan folks. They were either drinking or bathing in it. What used to happen with the leaded gasoline is people would have a garden by the road, and that would be contaminated in the soil. And the leafy greens and the root vegetables, they just, what's called bioaccumulate. They just suck up that lead, and it's right there, and you're eating it. Mexican candy has often been banned from the U.S. because of this problem, and sometimes Mexico or India has herbs and other folk medicines that have lead in it.
A lot of the herbs that come from China, if you're ordering your sources from China, you just need to be aware that a lot of those have lead content.
So then we get into touching it, and touching it becomes, I mean, you're going to just want to be in a bubble after I tell you this. And I sit down with people, I say, okay, where have you come in contact? But, you know, you're going to see a lot of places. Contaminated soil, bone meal, those of us who are gardeners, bone meal. The whole car industry is loaded with lead. So batteries, auto repair, people who are contractors working in older homes. And let's face it, our infrastructure is aging. So a lot of those sources are being renovated. Mining, pipe fitters, construction, pottery glazes, repairing jewelry, folks. Using crystal leaded glassware. If you get toys from companies without strict lead regulations, you might be subjecting your child to that. And hey, bullets, hunting, shooting ranges.
And makeup, cosmetics.
Yes, cosmetics. Yeah. And living in developing countries, I have a patient who spent a number of years in Nepal. They have almost no regulations on exhaust fumes, and all the gasoline is still leaded. So yeah, she has a profile that, wow, yeah. She has multiple toxicities from that. So here's the bad news, and I put it in red so we could all appreciate it. There's no safe level of exposure at any point in life to lead. Lead is just one of those. We'll be talking about some others in the coming weeks and months where there is, you know, some level is okay, but not lead. It's just really not a good idea. And most of it is absorbed through inhalation. But luckily, once it's absorbed, you do tend to, if you are fairly healthy, you do tend to excrete about 90% of what you absorb. So don't stop eating your chocolate just yet, right? Because, you know, you are excreting some of that. Unfortunately, most of these studies were done on men. So children and women, beware. So, you know, archaeological evidence shows we've been around this stuff a long, long time. And we're going to be getting into this as we get into other heavy metals that are still being mined by people with their bare hands in the world. So it has really entered our ecology, you might say. And then we had it in paints, and then we had it in gasoline here in the U.S. I mean, it may still be in your gasoline and your paint if you're not in the U.S. And children, of course, and developing fetuses are the most at risk. So that's what happened with Flint, Michigan, is all these children were exposed. I really wish we could have a clinic for them. I really wish we could have a clinic for them.
Yeah.
Because... yeah, I now know exactly what to do. So, and this part here that we're going to cover, you know, maybe as a consumer, you're not so interested in this, but it's helpful to understand why it's so dangerous. And the reason lead is so dangerous is it mimics calcium, and your body needs calcium. So guess what? That your body thinks, oh, I'm getting something good. And no, it's not. So it goes in just like calcium goes in. And it substitutes itself for calcium. And that is a big problem. So then it goes into bones, teeth. Oh, my goodness. Not good. Not good. And then it also substitutes itself for zinc. And you need zinc, you know, you need just a little bit of zinc. Zinc is called, you know, one of those micronutrients that you need, but it also substitutes itself for zinc. And if you don't have zinc and calcium on your side and you've got lead instead, you're not doing so well.
It's a bad combination.
Yes.
Zinc is such an important regulator for our immune system. Mm-hmm. And calcium is used so widely for everything. And again, this is double-sided, where not only are you not getting the stuff you do need, you're also getting the icky stuff instead.
Yeah, you know, I look at everyone's fingernails for the zinc spots, the white zinc spots. And, you know, I've told Karen, I helped a woman get pregnant once just by noticing she had white spots in her fingernails, because zinc is essential to fertility. Yep. And I noticed with getting COVID that people became low in zinc. And I know a lot of naturopaths have been giving zinc for people who have had COVID.
Absolutely. It's important to boost your immune system with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So now that you understand that lead is pretending to be calcium and running amok, then you understand why it's stored in your bones, blood, and tissue. See, it makes more sense now. And what happens, unfortunately, is postmenopausal women who may have only been accumulating a little bit of lead in their system up until menopause, then with estrogen loss and demineralization, what happens? Then the lead becomes more predominant, and it re-enters the bloodstream. And then they wonder why they can't remember who they are anymore. And people say they have early stage dementia. No, this is happening. I know it is. I feel that everybody probably should have a heavy metal test at some point in their life if they have any suspected brain thing going on, even hypertension. And we'll get into that. But, you know, you can see it accumulates so slowly that maybe not until menopause is it a problem for a woman.
Right. And then you go through a change, you know, if we're excreting it, and then at menopause, you stop having your menstrual period, you stop excreting blood that could be discharging other things. Yeah. You can see how at that point it could become more of a problem. And because so many other things, people say, oh, well, it's just menopause.
Yes. They just pass it off as menopause.
Right. And you've got brain fog from that. But you're word hunting, or you have fatigue, or you're whatever.
And then they're going to say, that's just menopause. And now I say, well, you know, I've done my best efforts. You're still not improving. Let's do a blood test. And oh my gosh. Okay. So the other bad news is that lead can cross the placental barrier, so then it affects the developing fetus. It also can cross the blood-brain barrier into the brain, hence it's neurotoxic. It actually kills and erodes brain cells. Yeah, this is all the bad news. Then, this should really perk up Karen's interest. Lead reduces uric acid excretion. So where do we get uric acid? Uric acid is gotten mostly from meat, poultry, and fish, although it does show up in vegetables. And
yeah, it's a side effect of processing a lot of your food and the way that your pancreas works, decisions that your kidneys are making. And for those of you who are on the hub who have watched the organ therapeutics class about gout and uric acid, there's a lot of other information about that. But when it's high, it creates mischief in your body. And if lead is making it higher,
So then you see the uterine fibroids, the lipomas, the arthritis, and we'll get into even more that I consider to be the gouty diathesis, you know, the uric acid diathesis. It's a fancy word to mean tendency, right? Then the other bad news is that lead stimulates intestinal inflammation. Gut permeability changes the proportions of gut bacteria and microbes and interferes with neurotransmitter release. So
all those things mean, you know, if you've heard the terms like leaky gut, these are things that are going on. Your gut's not going to be happy.
Yeah. So this all has very long-term effects, and we're going to get into the symptoms in a second here. So the complications that everybody pretty much agrees on are lead poisoning can lower IQ, contribute to learning disorders, aggressive behavior, criminal behavior, and neurological diseases. This is no small thing. And you can pick up tests right at Home Depot, Lowe's, probably on the internet, just fine. And you can get your blood tested on your own if your doctor's not willing.
So for those of you who are working at a practitioner level where somebody's got coverage and they explain to their primary care, I want this test, that's great. But that's not where the options start or stop. And you can certainly help people be aware these are all options. And there used to be a lot of negative chat within the medical circles about any of those at home tests. You know, they're garbage, right? You know, they don't really work. And I think that in the same way that there was sort of a conservative medical, don't go to see chiropractors. And, you know, there's kind of a we don't really trust anything that's not within the conservative conventional medical circle. You may have heard that. And I just have to say the science does not line up with that. No. And these are reliable tests, and it's really important to get a baseline of
These first tests are testing your environment. These last two companies are testing you, and they will just send you to the labs that are in your town. They'll send you to, in my town, they send you to Quest. It's not any different than what your doctor or primary care providers are doing.
Right. And you're able to purchase the labs, and then you get your blood drawn, and then it just shows up in your email.
Now, when it comes to hair analysis, which I do find quite useful, it's probably some other companies, and maybe Karen can add those companies. I didn't add those companies, but, you know, we can certainly put some more information into this piece of information here.
Okay.
Yeah. So what are we looking at when we're wondering what symptoms should tip us off? What symptoms, whether you're a practitioner or the public, whether you're a mom worrying about your kids, whether, you know, whoever you are wondering, why isn't this person getting well? Why are they continuing to have problems and they've seen everybody and all of that? This first group of symptoms I put together are general symptoms that you can observe, that you don't need the first one is a test. You can, you know, have a blood test or a hair analysis test. But the others you can actually just observe by looking at people. And the weird thing is, and I put this in blue for a reason, lead poisoning causes blueness, folks. You know, blueness of the whites of the eyes, blueness of the gums around the teeth, blueness of the tongue.
Very distinctive. And
blueness of the slime on the tongue. Okay.
So
you got it now. You're not going to forget this one for a while. Blue slime on the tongue.
Yeah, and a blue ring around the cornea. You can actually really see this. And now
you don't need a degree to see this. In other words, you can check.
Yeah, the white bleached as if between the toes. That I had not seen before, yeah. Lynn. Is it also between the fingers, maybe?
It could be. It could be, uh-huh. Wow. And they stink like rotten eggs.
Wow.
So turn on your nose. Start smelling your loved ones again. It's safe again to do that.
So if you're seeing all of these things, or, you know, this would be something.
I want to get that test done.
Yeah, you could check yourself if you're one of those people who's in that menopausal, gosh, I lost my brain. Get in front of a mirror and look at the lines around the edges of your teeth and see if there's anything there. Look at your eyes. And Lynn talked about the different types of exposure. Consider what you might have gotten yourself into over decades.
Decades. Yeah, a lifetime, really. So then in children, what they usually observe in children is premature birth weight, low birth weight, and slow growth. And I've put the repertory rubrics you can look at. So for those of you who are practitioners, you can look further at these. We're not going to dwell on these today. We'll run out of time momentarily. We are out of time. Children have developmental delays, learning problems, and lowered IQ, folks. And then they have really weird behaviors as well. And there's this one that's the folding and unfolding of the hands. And that's the true tip-off. Mm. Folding, folding, folding hands. Wow. Hyperactivity. Irritability. These kids can get into some real irritability where they're biting and the whole nine yards.
Right. Headaches. There's this agitation that gets created. Yeah.
And we saw the hearing loss of appetite, weight loss. And then these children and adults, I see pica in both, develop something called pica, which is the medical word for desiring indigestible things, and there's a lot of indigestible things they want, but
right. These are kids who are chewing on the wall, they're eating rocks,
pea grounds, sand, paper, dirt.
And sometimes this comes up also for pregnant women or for adults or for seniors, where they're just eating a lot of things that we don't think of as food products.
I even consider an over-the-top desire for gummy worms to fall into that category.
Really?
Yes, I do. Because gummy worms have absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. Sorry. I mean, you know, a lot of people enjoy gummy worms. But I mean, if it's over-the-top, like they've got to have it. They're like heat-seeking missiles for gummy worms. Okay. Then there's the cramping, and we're going to see this a lot in the heavy metals. That heavy metal poisoning, really, because you see, it's interfering with that calcium. And if you're not having good calcium metabolism and uptake, you're going to be cramping, you're going to be vomiting, there's going to be abdominal pain. And then, oh my goodness, you're going to be constipated, sluggish, fatigued, anemia, and even seizures and coma can happen for these kids. So it's a pretty serious situation for children. With adults, we're looking more at this more insidious sort of profile, where there's the difficulties with the memory, the concentration, and the mood disorders that they're going to give you Prozac for, right? Except it looks a little bit more like schizophrenia, because other people are devils and dolls and everybody's going to murder you. So you can imagine how people get diagnosed incorrectly, and they really need a blood test for heavy metals. Headaches, abdominal pain, hypertension, kidney issues, joint pain, muscle pain, and a boatload of neurological issues that center around numbness.
And drawing, you know, your body should not be twisting itself up here and there. Yeah. And we see this in elders with nutritional deficiencies as well. But, you know, taking a look at, is there a heavy metal? And, you know, Lynn's doing a great job of showing us this is what we see now for lead. But we're going to see some big similarities through this entire series of the heavy metals.
Right. And then we have the whole effect on fertility,
which
libido,
is huge.
Male sterility, female sterility, and premature births and miscarriages. Yeah. So what does allopathic medicine do? They do a couple things that we also have to do. We have to stop the exposure to lead. We have to clean up the source of the exposure. What they've got in their fix-it box is some chelation therapy and some, if you've had a very high exposure, they'll do a bowel irrigation with polyethylene glycol, which we're going to talk about that as a toxin later down the road. So that's why I say, I look at this stuff and I go, yeah, I think we can do better. Because, you know, some of what they do is already toxic. One thing I learned is regular medicine feels that they can help you dump out a bunch, but if it's damaged you, they can't fix that. And that is not true for homeopathy, folks. So that is the good news. Not only can we help reverse the toxicity, we can repair the damage. That is the good news for today. So,
all right. So let's go ahead and pause there. And we've talked about what's going on with lead. How would we know it was around? How it might be running incognito, or it might be loud and bold. You may know you had an exposure. You may have no idea that you had an exposure. But really, until you look, you're not going to be able to quantify and see what kind of an issue is it for you. And those tests are easy to arrange for yourself. Okay, so are we ready to switch over? Break. Yeah.
Well, in the next session, we'll talk about remedies briefly, and we'll talk about a principle that's absolutely important to understand working with heavy metals. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.